Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 2 Kings chapter 5. If you've been with us, you know that we've been in a series through the Bible for over a year now, titled The Bible, A True Story. And over the last several weeks, we found ourselves in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And it's in these books that we started looking at some of the prophets that God had raised up to help hold the kings of Judah and Israel accountable. Because after Solomon's downfall, we saw division come to Israel, bringing about really two nations. We have what we call Israel, which are 11 of the tribes, and then Judah became its own country here. And so we have Israel and Judah. And Judah had the line of Solomon and David leading it. And then the other came from other kings. And so in Judah, we found a mixture of good and evil kings over the years. Sometimes the kings did good in the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes they did evil. But in Israel, we found that there was nothing but evil kings that ruled. And so these prophets that God had raised up, they helped speak truth to the people of Judah and Israel throughout these evil kings and the ups and downs that they experienced. And over the last few weeks, we looked at stories from two of these great prophets that served in these times. We looked at the prophet Elijah, and then the prophet Elisha. And this morning we're going to look at another story that involves the great prophet Elijah. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning as we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And this is what it says in the scriptures this morning. It says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. 'By all means, go,' the king of Aram replied. 'I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, 'With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy.' As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me.' Verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: 'Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, 'Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed.' But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and abracadabra, presto, right? That he'd wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?' So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. We're going to stop there this morning. Now, this is an amazing story of God's healing power as we see this man, Naaman, healed of leprosy. And the thing is this section of Scripture is packed with so many things that we can learn, so many directions that we could go here as we look at this Scripture. But as I was studying and as I kept reading and rereading this section of Scripture and asking, Lord, what do you want to speak to us? What do you want for our church on this morning, Lord? I kept having this one central theme that would rise to the surface. And that was this idea of what happened in this section of Scripture for this healing to take place. What did we see here that allowed this healing to come forth? And so as I kept processing that thought, there were five things that kind of rose to the surface. And it's those five things that I want to share with you this morning. Five things we see happen here that opened the door for Naaman to experience this healing. And so the first thing I saw was this. God's healing happens when we give him our butts. Now, I know that sounds weird and that sounds strange, right? But let me explain, okay? In verse 1, it tells us about this amazing man, Naaman. He was commander of the army, you know, for the king of Aram. He was highly respected and he was revered by the king and all who served under him. He had experienced many victories thanks to the Lord and the Lord's favor we see here. And so in the eyes of the world, Naaman had everything going for him. The stature, everything about him was amazing. He had everything going for him. But then you get to the end of verse 1 where it says, but, right? It's that conjunction. What's your function? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Schoolhouse Rock. That conjunction word that changes everything. All right. You think, oh, it's good. But, and then it kind of changes things, that conjunction there. But he had leprosy. Now, if you aren't aware of what leprosy is this horrible skin disease that slowly infects and eats away at your skin and flesh. It can be extremely painful. And back in these times, in the days of Elisha and of Naaman, in the Bible times, they didn't have the kinds of medicines and antibiotics that we have today to deal with leprosy. And so this disease often meant a very slow, grueling death. And the sad thing is it was believed at this time that leprosy was contagious, that it would be, if you touched or were around it, that you could get it. And so many societies would send people with leprosy off to die in a community by themselves with other lepers. There were these communities of lepers where they went to die. And so for Naaman, this leprosy was ultimately a death sentence. It didn't matter how great and how wonderful he was. It didn't matter how wealthy and powerful he was. This leprosy would end up taking his life if he didn't find a cure or an answer for it. And this reality for Naaman is a reminder that we can have everything the world has to offer. We can have all the power, all the wealth, all the honor, all the success in the world, and we can still end up falling short. You see, this leprosy that we see at the Bible times, I believe, is a great analogy of sin in our lives. How it can slowly eat up and destroy the life that it entangles. Sin is like leprosy or like a cancer that eats away and destroys our lives. If we don't deal with it, if we don't give it to the Lord, sin will eventually kill us. So the question is, what are the sins in our life? What are the buts? What are the buts in our own lives, right? I want to serve God. I want to follow Him. But, .. I want to be a great spouse. I want to be the spouse that God has called me to be. But, .. I want to be bold. I want to be a man or woman of God. I want to step out in faith. But, .. I want to experience God's healing in my life. But, right, there's always that conjunction. There's always that but that gets in the way. What are the things holding us back? What are the sins and struggles that are eating away at us and keeping us from experiencing God's healing in our lives? Whatever they are, we have to give them to the Lord. We have to lay them before Him. We have to ask for His strength to push through and overcome these sins and struggles in our lives. As you've heard me say time and time again, Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. And like Naaman, we have to give those problems to Him. We have to give Him our butts. What are those butts? We have to give Him those things holding us back so we can see His healing in our lives. The next thing that I saw in these scriptures was this. God's healing happens when we share Him with others. The real hero in this story is a nameless servant girl. She's the real hero. The scripture doesn't even give us a name. It doesn't tell us her name. Listen to verses 2 and 3 again. It says, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy.'" That this young girl who had been taken captive and who now served Naaman's wife, she speaks up and she says, "I know someone who can heal your husband. The God of Israel is a powerful God, the one true God. Your husband should go to the prophet Elisha, because God works through him." This young girl, she's really an evangelist in her time. Her boldness to speak up and share about her God ends up leading Naaman to his healing. And also ends up really leading him to the Lord. We stopped at verse 14 this morning, but if you were to continue at the end of verse 17, listen to what Naaman says. He says, "Your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God but the Lord." This simple act of her sharing God changed Naaman's life and probably his family's life for eternity. As followers of Christ, we're called to share Jesus with others. And the reason is we want others to experience the good news that we've experienced. Jesus brings healing to our lives. And that healing that Jesus brings, it comes in all sorts of ways. But it starts with spiritual healing. It starts with us understanding the fact that we need a Savior. We need someone to save us from our sins. And as we come to understand that and experience that in our own lives, we have the opportunity then to share that good news with others. And the thing is, any of us can do that. This is a call for everyone, regardless of who you are or where you are. Think about this young girl. Think about her life. She was captured by a band of raiders. She was ripped from her family. She was ripped from all that she knew. And then most likely she was then later sold to the household of Naaman, a lot like Joseph, right? These people come, take Joseph, and then later sold to the house of Potiphar. And so she finds herself in the household of Naaman. in this foreign place with people she never chose to be with. It was forced upon her. And what does she do? She shares with them the truth about her God. How many of us find ourselves in places we don't want to be? Workplaces we don't want to be. Hopefully not Dallas, because I love Dallas, but maybe cities we don't want to be. In different places that we think, why am I here, God? It's not me that brought me here. It's my bad upbringing or this or that. How many times have we found ourselves in places that we don't want to be? And we complain and grovel instead of allow God to work through us to make a difference in where He's called us to be. That's what we see from this servant girl. She shares with her master. She shares where she's at about her God. How the God of Israel and this prophet can help her master Naaman. And this is something we all have the ability to do. We all have the ability to share the goodness of God with others. And it doesn't involve standing up on a soapbox in the middle of the city. It's simply sharing with others what God's done in our lives, the power of our own testimony, pointing people that are hurting to the one who can help them. Because I believe God's healing happens when we share Him with others, when we let our light shine. Now, the next thing I saw about healing in these scriptures is this. God's healing happens when we set aside our expectations. Naaman shows up at the house of Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Instead, he just sends a messenger to the door who just says, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. And in verse 11, it says, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. And the key phrase we see in this scripture is the phrase, I thought. How many times do we start our sentences with, I thought, right? I thought this, I thought that. Naaman had his own expectations of how this healing would take place. And for him, this is not how it was supposed to go. How often do we come before the Lord seeking healing with our own expectations of what that healing should look like? How it should happen, when it should happen. The problem is oftentimes it never looks the way we thought it would. And that's because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. There's a scripture in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts, God's ways go beyond us. They go beyond the moment. That's where we're at. We're in the moment. God's thoughts go beyond the moment. His response is based on a picture way bigger than our picture. Our view is right here. And God's view is here. His view is way bigger than our own. And I'm learning if we want to see God's healing in our lives, we have to set aside our expectations. We have to begin to pray, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Because God's healing happens when we set aside our expectations and when we begin to trust in Him and His will for our lives. Which leads me to my next point this morning, which is this. God's healing happens when we humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves before the Lord. In verse 12 and 13 it says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Now Naaman shows up here in Israel with his entourage, right? He brings gifts that in today's world will be worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And with all this pomp and circumstance, there is a pride in him that is expecting to be treated in a particular way. Because after all, this is Naaman the Great, right? This great military leader. In his country, he's second only to the king himself. And so when Elisha sends a messenger to the door instead of coming himself, and when he's told to go dunk in a dirty river there in Israel, his pride gets the best of him. And he almost leaves. He almost leaves without experiencing this healing. But thankfully, his servants help him come to his senses, and he decides to humble himself and to do what the prophet Elisha had told him to do. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, how often do we let pride get in the way of experiencing God's healing in our own lives? We have to come to the realization that pride is our enemy. It's our enemy. Because pride tells us that we deserve something. Pride tells us that we're somebody, right? Pride tells us that God owes us whatever it is we're seeking. Do you know who I am? I am Naaman, the Great. You owe me something. But the truth is, God doesn't owe any of us anything. The truth is, we should be thankful that God loves us and that he extends his grace to us because of that love. The simple reality, it should humble us. Because compared to God, we're nothing. Compared to him, we deserve nothing. We deserve hell. It's important for us to understand this truth, because as long as we think we're something, we'll continue to walk in pride and miss out on the healing that God has for our life. But when we realize we're nothing and we quit acting like God owes us something, we begin to humble ourselves. And in doing so, we open the door for God's healing to take place in our lives. Because God's healing happens when we humble ourselves before him. And then the final thing that I saw in these scriptures this morning is this. God's healing happens when we obey him completely. The truth is, many of us are good at partial obedience. Right? We're good at partial obedience. We do most of what we're supposed to do. Well, I did this much. I did 90%. Isn't that good enough, God? Right? We do most of what we're supposed to do. But the truth is, God requires complete obedience. Because anything less than complete obedience is really disobedience. Right? In verse 14 it says, "So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy." We see here that Naaman goes and he dunks himself in the Jordan seven times, just like he was told. He did exactly. He humbled himself and he did exactly what he was told. And as he comes up the seventh time, he experiences this healing. Now the question is, what if he would have stopped at 5 or 6? This isn't doing anything. Forget this. I'm out of here. What if he would have stopped before the 7th time? He would have never experienced God's healing in his life. And I wonder, how many times do we start obeying? We begin the process, but we fail to complete it. We fail to continue and finish. We get partway through whatever it is God has asked us to do, but because we're not seeing any results, we stop before we experience the healing. As I was studying and as I was thinking about this point, I began to think of some of the great people in the Bible that we've been looking at through this series. And I began to wonder, what would happen if they would have only partially obeyed? What if Noah would have built half an ark? Right? Thought, man, what am I doing here? We've never had rain or water fall from the sky. Forget this. This is too hard of work. I'm done. Right? What if he would have quit? What if Moses would have given up after the 9th plague? Right? And been like, man, Pharaoh's never going to let the people go. He keeps saying he is, and then he lies, and forget it, I'm done. I'm tired of dealing with this stuff. And what if he quit? What if David would have stood in front of Goliath and been like, oh man, he's bigger than I thought he was. I don't think I can do this. And what if he left? What if he ran away? The list goes on and on. But the fact is these great people of God, they didn't give up. They continued to walk in obedience. They obeyed God fully. And because they did, they experienced these great miracles. Naaman obeyed fully. And because he did, he experienced healing. And not just a physical healing, but spiritual healing as well, as he committed to only worship the God of Israel. And like I said, it probably changed his family's life forever. Obedience requires us to trust in the Lord. And as we trust in him, we then obey him completely. Because we know that when we obey him completely, God's healing happens in our lives. And I'm guessing, or at least I hope, that every single one of us wants to experience his healing in our lives, because I know I do. And as we are obedient fully, that's when we experience his healing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these amazing stories of these people of faith who saw miracles happen because of their faithfulness to you. I think of this servant girl, Lord. What an amazing testimony of just sharing about you, Lord. Just saying, man, I know someone that can heal you. I serve an amazing God. And how Naaman's life was changed because of this servant girl who was willing to share what she knew about you. May we be people who are willing to share what we know about you, Lord. To not be afraid to speak up when people are hurting or going through difficulties. To be able to say, I know a God that can help you through that. I know a God that can bring healing to your life. I thank you for Naaman, Lord, and this man who didn't even know you, whose life was changed and he committed his life to you, Lord. But we can learn so many things from him of coming to that place of humility, Lord, of fully obeying and doing what he was told to do so that he could experience your healing in his life. There are so many things that we can learn from your word, Lord. And so I thank you for your word that continues to speak life, Lord, as we've walked through this Old Testament so far, Lord. I know that so many people view the Old Testament as this harsh God. But time and time again, Lord, we've seen your grace. We've seen your love. We've seen your mercy poured out to people. We've seen the character of who you are, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to continue to grow from your word. And we pray that you would continue to allow your word to speak to our lives, to help us become the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. Seek you with all that we are, to live the lives that you've called us to live, that, Lord, walk in complete obedience. I just pray right now, Lord, I feel like there are people in this room that, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to live the lives that you've called us to live, but we continue to fall into traps and failures from our past, Lord. And so I pray this morning that you would help us, Lord, to give those things to you. It's so easy for us to think, I'll never overcome these things. And so we continue to go down those paths. And it's in those times that, Lord, we're not walking in complete obedience. But I pray that we come to that place where we do our best to give them to you, where we seek with all that we are to live the lives that you've called us to live. That we surrender everything to you. We do our best to walk in complete obedience. And with that, Lord, we're going to mess up at times. But it's about our heart seeking to do what's right. Seeking to live the life you've called us to live. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are struggling in these areas, Lord, to keep giving it to you, to keep doing their best to live the life that you've called them to live. And as they walk in that obedience, Lord, it's then that they can experience your healing in their lives. And so again, we thank you for your word this morning. May you allow it to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. Each of these five areas, Lord, that Lord, maybe there's one that speaks to us specifically. Lord, may we take what you wanted to speak to us today, Lord. May we grab from it. And Lord, may we seek to live life differently because of what you spoke to us today. We thank you for your word. We give you these things. We lay them before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.